So a substantial part of the Balkans had actually been annexed and taken over by the Romans. The Romans had not yet taken Palestine and Syria in the east, and they had not yet taken Egypt, but they had largely neutralized the rulers of those areas. Okay. After the First Punic War, 264 to 241 BC, Rome annexed Sicily, Sardinia, and Corsica, the first three provinces of the Roman Empire, the first territory outside Italy governed by the Romans. By 146, Rome had annexed Greece and Carthage, a strip of territory across the North African coast, and a substantial part of the Balkan Peninsula. Rome is now moving far outside the realm of Italy. In other words, at the end of the First Punic War, we could say the annexation of Sicily, Sardinia, and Corsica made a certain kind of sense. They're very close to Italy. The Romans could view them as representing security interests, security needs. There's a certain logic to that. They defeated the Carthaginians, but now you'll see a difference in Roman policy. In Italy, remember the policy of generosity. Treat your defeated foe well, and your defeated foe just might turn into your friend. In North Africa, they fought three great wars against the Carthaginians and then destroyed them utterly. They basically put sort of the Carthaginians into the dustbin of history. This time, no fooling around. The Romans went into the Balkans and fought again three times, feeling themselves drawn forward on each occasion, you see, to fight one party after another who had lent aid to Rome's foes. Again, not the old policy of generosity, not the old policy of make your enemy into your friend, but now take over. Carve up the Balkan Peninsula, make it provinces of an empire, and place those provinces under the administration of Roman officials. But the Romans were canny. The Romans were wise. They were prescient. The Seleucids had lent aid to the Antigonids. The Ptolemies lent aid to the Seleucids. The Romans knew that. The Romans were affronted by it. The Romans could accommodate that to their notion of defensive war, of just war. But the Romans also knew that at that time they lacked the means fully to conquer the Seleucid realms or the Ptolemaic realms. So they didn't get themselves mixed up in a battle they simply couldn't win. They waited. Within a century or two, as we'll see in a later lecture, the Romans were able to take over those territories. But for now, they held. So there's a kind of a wisdom in the Romans. We may think them a bit brash. We may think them a bit proud. We may think them a bit ambitious. And they were all those things. But they weren't crazy. They had a very measured sense of how to move forward. In 133 BC, King Attalus III of Pergamum. Pergamum is a state in the northern area of what we would now call Turkey, Anatolia in antiquity. It was one of the smaller Hellenistic states that emerged. Remember, we talked about this when we talked about the Hellenistic world, that you had the great states of the Antigonids, the Seleucids, and the Ptolemies, and then a number of other small states emerged around the periphery of those large ones. We've met another of these today in Pyrrhus's Epirus, and perhaps we could actually say that the Carthaginians figure as another of these Hellenistic powers, although certainly the Carthaginians were there long before the Hellenistic world. Anyway, so King Attalus of Pergamum, a man who is influential in his own neck of the woods, a man who is fantastically wealthy, his spectacular architectural achievements were in part dismantled and carried off to Berlin, where one can go and see them today. So if anyone is ever visiting there, this is really quite a wonderful thing to see. And one gets a sense of the scale of a man like Attalus and of how powerful and important he actually was. He had no heirs. So as he's coming towards the end of his life, it's an interesting and open question. What will he do? He willed his kingdom to Rome. He willed his kingdom to Rome. Now, we'll have occasion to see a couple of lectures down the road that the Romans actually had a very considerable debate about whether to accept this legacy or not. There were some very interesting complicating factors in whether or not the legacy was a good one. For the moment, what I want to draw your attention to is the very fact that an important, wealthy, powerful Hellenistic ruler by 133 BC could see into the future. And he knew that that future was all Roman. And he wills his kingdom to Rome. In a very real sense, the year 133 marks a symbolic moment in Roman history. Rome has achieved dominance, utter and complete dominance. They haven't yet taken over every square inch of territory, but they have achieved utter dominance in the Mediterranean world, in the ancient world, in the world of all those peoples about whom we've been speaking over the last 17 lectures.